are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23. We're going to look at the first 25 verses. I want you to go there with me, please. I want to talk to you this morning about engaging God for impact. Engaging God for impact. Who wants to have an impact in this generation? I do. Who wants to have an impact with your own personal walk with Christ? I want something to count in my life. That's what I'm here for. I don't know about you. I know Josiah had that same desire. Engaging God for impact. Starting at verse 1, please. 2 Kings 23. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. Underline that. Nobody was overlooked. No one's overlooked when it comes to the Word of God. Did you hear what I said? No one's overlooked when it comes to the Word of God. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem, those who had burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes which were in the temple of the Lord and where the women did weaving to Asherah. Josiah brought all the priests from the towns of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba, where the priests had burned incense. He broke down the shrines at the gates at the entrance to the gate of Joshua, the city governor, which is on the left of the city gate. Although the priests of the high places did not serve at the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, they ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. He desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice his son or daughter in the fire of Molech. He removed from the entrance to the temple of the Lord the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. They were in the court near the room of an official named Nathan-Melech. Josiah then burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. He pulled down the altars the kings of Judah had erected on the roof near the upper room of Ahaz, and the altars of Manasseh had built in the two courts of the temple of the Lord. He removed them from there, smashed them to pieces, and threw the rubble in the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the Hill of Corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Asheranth, the vile goddess of the Sidonians, and Geshmash, the vile god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. Even the altar at Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin, even that altar and high place he demolished. He burned the high place and ground
ground it to powder, and burned the Asherah pole also. Then Josiah looked around, and when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, he had the bones removed from them and burned on the altar to defile it, in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. The king asked, "What is that tombstone I see?" The men of the city said, "It marks the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and pronounced against the altar of Bethel the very things you have done to it." "Leave it alone," he said. "Don't let anyone disturb his bones." For they spared his bones and those of the prophet who had come from Samaria. Just as he had done at Bethel, Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. Josiah slaughtered all the priests of those high places on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he went back to Jerusalem. The king gave this order to all the people: "Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Not since the days of the judges who led Israel, nor throughout the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Joshua got rid of the mediums and the spiritists and the household gods, the idols and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Isn't that an amazing scripture? I love verse 25. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Engage God for impact. There were two long-standing church members who were out in a boat fishing, and they had taken a new believer with them that day, brand new Christian. And they were discussing their faith and their devotion to God. And as they were talking, one of the man's hat flew off his head and into the water. So he stood up, calmly stepped onto the water, walked over to his hat and picked it off the water, and walked back and got into the boat. The new Christian was amazed. He kind of looked at the guy, and he thought, wow, this guy, he must really love Christ. He's so spiritual that he can walk on water. Wow. At the same time he was thinking about this, a wind came in and swept the other guy's hat off his head and into the water. And the other Christian, he just got out of the boat, walked on the water, got his hat and put it on, walked back into the boat. The new believer looked at the other guy and he said, "Not one walks on water, but two of them walked on water. I can't wait to see what the catch will be at the end of the day. I've heard that Jesus walked on water." All of a sudden, another gust of wind came, and it took his hat off, and it flew into the water. So he thought, well, if they can walk on water, I'm going to walk on water. He gets out of the boat to get his hat, and deep down he goes. And he's like fighting for his life, and one of the other Christians, he's got his hand over the boat, and the other Christian looked at that Christian, and he said, "We forgot to tell him we walked on sand dunes." But you know what? It was that new believer who truly had the faith. It was that new believer who had passionate devotion. It was that new believer who was willing to risk at any... He thought, if these guys had impact, I'm going to have impact.
And there's many times in our lives that God calls us to walk up, to get out of the boat and to walk in a whole new territory that we've never walked before spiritually. And that's exactly what Josiah did. We look at Josiah as this amazing guy of faith. He was 8 years old when he became king. And the time that he began to clean out the house of the Lord, he was 16 years old, it says, when he began to seek God. It was only at the age of 16 that he began to seek God. It was at 26 that they found the actual book of the covenant, which people say was the book of Deuteronomy. Scholars say it was the book of Deuteronomy. Some say the Pentateuch. Whatever it was, I wasn't there. All I know is he read the book of the law, and from that came a great revival. And so here he is engaging with God, and he's looking to God for impact in his generation. And moving beyond his own personal convictions, he engages God in this godless generation. And he's looking at this generation, and he's like, We have got to do something to honor the Lord and to bring back honor to the Lord. And so when Hilkiah, his high priest, found the word of the Lord and he brings it to him, he tells him, read it to me. As he's reading it, he humbles himself before the Lord. He repents of his own kingship, and he repents of the people he's leading, and he asks God to come and bring a fresh visitation of his presence to the people of God. And so he leads the whole country up to the temple of the Lord, and he brings them, and at this point he starts to speak the word of the Lord. And this is where we encounter this chapter. And when we engage God with passionate devotion, if you're filling in the blank of the handout, when we engage God with passionate devotion, we begin to experience this life-changing impact. We start to see that our life matters. We start to see that our testimony really counts. And we begin to see that all God has poured into us, he wants to pour out of us. He doesn't want it just to be, you know, he doesn't want us just to be replenished. He wants us, as soon as we hear what he's asking of us, that we're willing to stand up publicly for our faith and to declare the word of the Lord. That's what he wants. And that's what Josiah begins to do. And out of his passionate devotion to God, he's saying, I'm willing to take a stand and bring reform to a nation that does not want to serve God. We are in a nation that does not want to serve God. There are more people who sit in their homes on Sunday morning watching television on their computer or on their iPad or on their phone rather than serving, worshiping, or learning about God. King Josiah demonstrates how we can engage God with a passionate devotion and experience a life-changing impact. I don't think he was ready for what he was about to experience. When he heard the word of the Lord, he knew, and he was convicted in his heart. And here he is. Josiah renewed the significance of the word of God. He realized as soon as he heard it, he's like, I've heard it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do something about it. He tells all his team. He gathers them together. He said, you need to go to the prophetess, Huldah. You need to go to her. You need to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm going to do everything she instructs of me to do. Because he didn't know what to do. You see, we think that we have to have all the plan of action. God's just saying, I'm waiting for somebody to say yes. I'm waiting for somebody to do something with the conviction that's in their heart. I'm waiting for somebody to go and seek direction from me or to those that I send them to, and listen to what I'm going to tell them to do and not second guess it all the time, not try to prove it all the time. He didn't have anything to prove it by but accept what he had heard from the word of God.
And so he says, right now, we just need to hear what God has for us as a nation. And he says, I am going to renew the significance of God's word. I'm going to gather everybody together, whether they like it or not, because I'm king, they're going to listen to what I have to say. So he takes a humble posture before the Lord. He willingly surrenders, and he says, no matter what the cost, I'm going to obey the word of God. And he unapologetically and unashamedly, he publicly declares the word of the Lord. Do you know there is a famine in the United States of America right now of people hearing the word of God? They hear more on the radio and television and podcasts about everything else but hearing the word of God. It's the thing that transforms. The word of God will transform lives, will transform nations for God. He calls the nation wide assembly and puts into practice the full covenant of God. I said the full covenant of God, not just a covenant from God, but this book was the full covenant. It was the law of God. And there were things from Deuteronomy that were meant to be practiced that had not been practiced since the judges to this day. And he was about to say, we're turning a new page. And King Josiah challenges them to put some effort into it. He's saying, I need everybody on board here. Not just a few of you, all of you are going to put into practice what we've just read. I came across this story of a South Dakota rancher and his bride who received this beautiful leather-bound Bible on their wedding day. And it was a gift from the groom's grandfather. And you know how you write thank you notes at the end of, you know, all the gifts have come in. You write thank you notes to everybody who gave you a gift. And so he did that, and he sent his grandfather a note, and he just stuck the Bible up on the shelf, and he actually forgot about it. But Grandpa didn't forget about it. And so for Grandpa kept insisting on him reading the Bible. He's like, didn't he realize I was already thankful for it? What more does he want? I sent him a thank you note, put the Bible away, that's enough. So the grandfather keeps insisting that he should read this Bible. So just to appease his grandfather, he takes the Bible off and he calls his grandpa and he's like, well, where do you want me to begin? He said, you haven't looked at the Bible? He's like, no. He said, start in Genesis. So he starts in Genesis, and he opens to chapter 1, and in there is a $20 bill. So being the grandson that he is, he turns the Bible upside down, and $20 bills start to shake out of the Bible. He had placed 66 $20 bills at each beginning of the book, of each of the books of the Bible. And so he's like, Grandpa. He calls him, he said, Grandpa, do you have any other Bibles? He thought he was a quick read, you know? And he began to read that Bible that he had never read before. He humbled his heart. I love what the scripture says in 2 Kings 22. When the prophetess spoke about what was about to happen to Josiah, she said this, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against the place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your clothes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. I really have a sense in my heart that if families went home today and they took out the word of God and they began to read the word of God and they humbled themselves as a family and they rededicated their lives as a family. And if you're single, if you dedicate yourself to the Lord on your own, that God would come to you in your humble state and release the word of the Lord to you. He has that for us today.
today. Not tomorrow, I'm saying today. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. I'm just telling you the truth. That's not a prophetic word, that's just being wise. What do you need to do today? What do you need to do today to make the Word of God significant in your life? Ask yourself this question. I read it, but do I live by it? And as I've been preparing my time to be with you today, I've asked myself that question. I read it, but do I live by it? And I told you that if you waited on the Lord, He would show you exactly what He wanted you to do next. And He wants to do that for you with the Word of the Lord. Because when we engage with a passionate devotion and we place significance on the Word of God, we will experience life-changing impact. There are people that God wants to bring across your path this week. And in a paraphrase or two, you're to speak the word of life into their hearts. There are some who have a spirit of the Antichrist. They do not believe in Christ at all. And they have an argumentative, cynical, critical spirit of who Christ is. And because the Word lives in you, and because the Word's alive in you, God could use you to speak to that person and break through that darkness and break through that wall and bring hope, the beginning of hope, into their heart. We have a lot of self-made, self-proclaimed people who are successful people. And because they're successful, we kind of take a step back from them because we're intimidated by their success. But they're so far from God, and all you smell is success. And because they're so successful, we think they have the plan of action that will lead them to Christ. Can I tell you, they do not have the plan of action, or they'd already have it. I'm just telling you the way it is. And it's somebody just like you who has understood the significance that God's Word has had in the restorative process, the transformation process in your own life, in your own journey, in your own relationships, in your own thinking, in your own behavior, in your own ministry, that you can have the privilege to speak into somebody else's life in that state. That's a privilege you've been given. More people ignore that privilege because of fear and intimidation, and because they won't open the Word of God, which is a privilege you've been given as a born-again believer. Pick up the Word of God, read it, believe it, walk in it, speak it, and live by it, so that when people of those lifestyles come to you, you can actually speak and bring about a moment of God in their life. He's looking for that to happen right now, today. He's got appointments set up for you today, just like this appointment that Josiah set up for all those people that day. It was that day, today, in the moment, that the Holy Spirit fell upon this young man's heart. He was the youngest of all, standing up there and boldly declaring, "Here's what God wants us to do today." When was the last time that you stood up in your place and boldly took ground in the name of Jesus and said, "This is what Jesus wants me to do today"? Think about it.
We're asking for revival. We're asking for breakthrough. We're asking for God to heal the sick. We're asking God to deliver people from disease. We're asking for people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's in the Word of God. It's not complicated. Are you currently living by the Word of God? I see in verses 4 to 14 another aspect of engaging with passionate devotion, and that is when Josiah restored true worship. Josiah's next step is to engage God's presence. He knows that it's the presence of God, it's the power of God, it's the person of God that needs to come on the scene. And he knows that he's got to eliminate all forms of idolatry. There's so many forms, and Moses had warned them. He said, when you head into the promised land, I spoke on this last week. He was preparing them, and now we're living the consequences of them so easily giving in to all the various nations, gods, and idols that it had consumed their former worship to the point that the temple that Solomon had built to dedicate and honor the living God now had become a place of prostitution, had become a place of every idol and god known to mankind, and he had to tear it down. Tear it out, tear down the altars, and take it to the Kidron Valley. Now, the Kidron Valley, Kidron means gloom, place of gloom. So he takes it to the place of gloom, and he burns it. Then he takes all the ashes, and he takes the ashes from all the idols and all the altar, and he takes it and he brings it to Bethel. That's very significant because it was at Bethel, which means house of God, but it was at Bethel that Aaron had actually built the golden calf and they were worshiping. And when Moses came down the mount, he actually broke the Ten Commandments. God had warned him that the people were already having a celebration worshiping idols. He said, get down to your people right away. So he takes it out, and they dump the ashes in Bethel, and he comes back and he restores the temple. And we see here that Josiah then he destroys every aspect of longstanding idol worship, and he went to great lengths to restore proper worship to the true God, indicating his own faith and his commitment to God. He was not shy. I remember when I first got saved, and I had time with somebody who was discipling me, and he was saying to me, you know, what are you choosing to do with these things from your past? And I'm like, what are you talking about, things from my past? He talked about idols. I said, I really don't know what I was going to do. He said, you need to get rid of them. I'm like, all of that stuff? And I did. It went in the dumpster. Now you have a fresh start, he said. He didn't want to violate Judah. And he took all the idols, the altars, the shrines, and he burnt them. He killed all the pagan priests. He swept the country from the stench of all idol worship. He removed the Levite priests from the temple because they had interacted with idol worship. He pulverized every form of worship. There's lists of it. It was a horror in Judah. Two strangers, a man and a wife, a woman, not a wife, a woman, met for the first time, and instantaneously a spark of interest ignited. They began meeting once a week for dinner, and that isn't enough.
Their growing interest in one another demanded more contact. As a result, their telephone bill soars. They far surpass the maximum minutes allowed on their cell phones, and the bills move from $40 to $300 a month. Well, what happened? Did they fall in love with the idea of telephone calling? Did they develop a passion for their cell phones? No, they developed a passion for each other. They used the cell phone as their tool of feeding, maintaining, and developing their passion for one another. And no one talked to them in using their phones more or explained to them the benefits of phone usage. It was their passion for each other that drove them, not their passion for their phone. Worship is our spiritual telephone, and it's the instrument God has provided so we can engage and keep in touch with Him. Josiah understood how desperately his people needed to worship God, and that worship would feed, maintain, and develop their passion for devotion and their passion for worshiping the God of the heavens. Remember, meeting with God once a week, it's not enough. You want me to say it again? Okay. Okay. Meeting God once a week is not enough. If you're going to engage God with passionate devotion, it's going to demand a whole lot more contact. There's a cost to knowing God. There's a cost to having Christ dwell within your heart. There's a cost to serving God. And there was a cost for Josiah as king to serve and to cleanse that temple and say, this is not how we're going to do worship any longer. When we engage with passionate devotion and worship God with all our heart, mind, and strength and soul, we will experience this life-changing impact that we want. We do it corporately, and we can do it individually. I see in verses 15 to 20 something really specific about engaging in passionate devotion. There was something about Josiah that I, when I read chapter 22 and I read chapter 23, and then I go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35, they're actually the same account of this. And the thing that I love about Josiah was when he was engaging with God, Josiah reclaims, listen, he reclaims the prophetic voice of God for Israel. And so, and you're like, well, where'd you see that in this chapter? When you look at verses 15 to 20, you see that he's out and he's destroying all the altars and he's destroying all the idols and he's burning everything. And then he goes to this hillside. And in the hillside are many tombs. And they explain to him, those are tombs of people who worshiped idols. And so they're buried in those tombs. And so he pulls all those dead bones out and he burns them on the altar. And that was a prophetic word that was given in 1 Kings chapter 13 from the man of God who had come from Bethel. He had prophesied that a young boy named Josiah would become king. And when the young boy Josiah became king, he would actually take the dead bones of all those who had worshipped foreign gods, and he would burn them on that altar that Jeroboam had built. And so he says, so here by his own actions and by his own obedience and by the humility within his heart, he pulls the bones out of all those grains, takes them from the graves, places them on Jeroboam's altar, and he burns them and reestablishes the significance of the word of God when spoken. I think we are in a generation that needs to hear the prophetic word of God afresh.
And the prophetic word that's been spoken in the past, the prophetic word that's been spoken in the Word of God, and the prophetic word that's been spoken to this generation. And we need a prophetic voice as never before to stand in the midst of the people and declare the word of the Lord. I had a prophetic word over 20 years ago at Believer's Chapel by Dennis Kramer that said that I would stand on the stairs of City Hall and I would proclaim prophetically the word of God. It's yet to be seen. I've stood on Rochester's City Hall stairs and I've prayed, but I have not yet prophetically spoken. That day is coming. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to do what I've been told to do. I didn't speak that word. That was spoken over me 20-something years ago. And I'm going to speak prophetically to the city of Rochester. I'm not saying that arrogantly. That was a word that I'm going to stir and ask God to bring to pass. Amen?
She says in 1 Kings, Chapter 13, verse 2. He cried out against the altar of the word of the Lord. This is the old man, the man of God. O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you.
300 years it took for that word to be fulfilled. Don't think that what God has proclaimed over your life prophetically is not meant for this generation. And if not this generation, several other generations to come. I think because we don't see it, we don't believe it. I think because we don't think we're walking in it, God isn't making it come to pass. I think because we in the natural are limited to what we see in the spirit or hear in the spirit, we think that God is a God who's not speaking today. God is speaking today. Just as he was. You want to engage God for impact? Get your prophetic words out and start praying over your prophetic words. You want to have impact in this generation? Take out the journals that you've written in over the last year and read what God's revealed to you in your journal. God's spoken already to your heart. Oh, by the way, you could actually take out the sermon notes. Oh my goodness me, what a great idea. You could take a, I forgot. Because I just heard somebody say, well, I haven't gotten a prophetic word. Oh, you've got many prophetic words. Because there have been many prophetic words and insights that have been in the sermons. Right? And you just take out your notes and you go over your sermon notes and maybe God just might speak to you and say, that word was for you. Remember that? Yeah. I've got a better idea. Why don't we go over the last 2 weeks, if we can't find our sermon notes, and think about what Pastor talked about, and maybe in the last 2 weeks, God meant to speak to you, and you were meant to do something that you're still sitting on because you don't have the courage or the boldness, and you're fearful, and you don't know what people just might think. Will he call me in front of the assembly? Yeah, that's not in my notes. Okay. But we're in a day where God is saying America needs to hear the prophetic voice of God. And that prophetic voice lies within his people. And he's looking for you to participate. And he's saying, some of us have been waiting and some of us have that prophetic anointing on our lives. And he's saying, I want to use you. I want to release you. I want to set you up in those environments where you can actually speak the word of the Lord.
It's powerful, folks. This generation is being challenged to claim its prophetic voice. And one way we can engage God is by responding to the prophetic promptings he places in our own hearts. There's words of wisdom. There are words of knowledge. There are prophetic prayers. There's scriptures that he speaks to you prophetically, weekly. There are words that you've received that perhaps you have not even considered to be prophetic. And yet every time you think that thought, there's a stirring of faith in your heart. That's prophetic. We don't have to make it complicated. He didn't even realize what he was doing when he had to ask somebody, "What's this over here?" He didn't know what those tombs represented, did he? And then as he's taking it out, the guys who are watching him, they go, "Bada bing, bada boom." We remember the prophet spoke about that. It came back to their remembrance as he's doing it. Sometimes we think we have to have it all together to do it. Josiah didn't even know what he was doing. He just knew it had to all be cleaned out. He knew he had to restore things. He knew he had to get all the idols and idol worship out so they could get their eyes on the Lord. And he's just out of obedience doing what he thought he should. He was prompted to do. He had just cleaned the temple, cleaned all the shrines, knocked down the altars, and this was the last place he was. He wasn't even thinking of tombs. You may not even be thinking about what God's asking you to do. And then you begin to do something, and as you begin to do it, something clicks. What's this about? And you realize, because the Holy Spirit's moving, and you have this courage, and you have this boldness, and you're a little tentative, and you're not quite sure, and you don't know what it all means, and neither did Josiah. We think because we can read about it, he had it all together. It wasn't even on his mind. And it was a prophetic moment. Do you hear what I'm saying? We make it so spiritual that we can't attain it. We make it so highfalutin and only the selected few get to move in this. No. No. All. All who are willing to embrace obediently the word of the Lord. But all. I love that about God. Oh my goodness. We must be willing to risk being uncomfortable to speak life into lifeless situations. That's not comfortable, is it? This was not a comfortable moment for Josiah either. And yet the prophetic voice of God was reestablished in Israel. We see in verses 21 to 25 that Josiah reinstituted the celebration of God's supernatural intervention. He reinstitutes something so powerful to help the Israelites. Passover was the celebration of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt's, the Egyptian bondage. It was a celebration of God's supernatural and miraculous intervention to commemorate the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelite firstborn were spared by the blood smeared across the doorposts of the houses. It's interesting that the first time that when they were celebrating the Passover in Egypt, it was in individual houses. But since the Promised Land, God wanted the Passover to be a commemorative celebration with everybody together. And yet they hadn't done it since Judges. That overlooked it. Isn't it interesting that when you look at all the gods for verses 4 to 14, all the idols that they worship, they were for fertility.
They were fertility gods and goddesses, and they honored them. Bel was a fertility god, and then the Ashereth was the mother of Bel, and she was the goddess of fertility, and most of them were. And so here's God sparing all the firstborn children, and yet they're worried about fertility. Were they not lost? Interesting. God was faithful, and God would be faithful to give them their firstborn sons again. In the new generation, it was a new generation.
It says here in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 18, the Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel, and none of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah with the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were there with the people of Jerusalem. It's so easy to forget the supernatural power of God. It's so easy to forget the miraculous work of God in our lives. If you are a born-again believer, you've experienced the miraculous. You are a current sign and wonder of Jesus Christ. You represent his death, burial, and resurrection, which was a miracle. Don't forget the supernatural work of God in your life. It's time for us to engage God and celebrate the ways he has supernaturally and miraculously worked in our independent lives and what he's done corporately amongst us. Amen? We get so excited here when we give a report of those who are healed and those who are set free from diseases. And why? Because we realize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We realize there's healing power in the name of Jesus. And when we hear the testimony, it's because we know Jesus intervened, right? That same power is at work in your life today. 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 There's wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ in you today. When we engage God with passionate devotion, we will experience a life-changing impact just as Josiah did. We will renew the significance of God's word in our own lives. We will restore true worship in our own hearts and get rid of all forms of idolatry. We will reclaim the prophetic voice of God over our lives, but we would be willing to stand up and boldly declare it to our generation. We will reinstitute the celebration of God's great deliverance of the place we were once in our own bondage and captivity. We'll stand up and we will celebrate. Hey, we're coming upon Easter in a few weeks. Will that not be a great celebration? That's our time of year to say, look and see what the Lord has done. Amen? Amen? Amen. You're a walking Easter every single day. Can I tell you that? You shouldn't have to wait to Easter to celebrate. You're a walking Easter every day. Amen. I want you to think about this. Decide today that you will engage God with passionate devotion, just as Josiah had done. We're going to worship the Lord. If I can have the worship team come up. Father, we thank you for this rich time in the Word, and we just pray in your precious name that you would help us to engage you through Word, through worship, through the prophetic, through celebration of the miraculous. God, engage us. In passionate devotion for you, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.